This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's February 5th, episode 843, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Just so you know, Glenn, I am on standby. I've got the baby monitor on the baby because the husband has already gone to work. He left for work at 4 a.m. this morning, so I'm kind of in charge. Thank goodness he's still sleeping. So, just so you know, I may have to bolt out at any time. But anyway, how are you this morning? Did we lose Glenn? Jennifer, are you there? Am I talking to nobody?
I'm here. I am here. Can you hear me? No. Yes, sorry about that.
No.
I am here, and that's fine because I don't have to bolt out at any minute. I'm looking at my pony out the window, and he looks fine. So, I think we're good. Although, I do have
a baby monitor
on just in case.
Oh, good. Just in case he whinnies or something, you have to run out
yes.
there. Poor little thing. Hey, can you believe the snow that is happening? I'm so sorry for all of you people in the Northeast, right? Well, pretty much all over the country, except for Phoenix and Ocala. And unfortunately, I used to live in Ohio where our listener Uta is, and oh, my God, I wanted to kill myself. So you guys, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how y'all do it. It's crazy.
We did an interview with a gentleman from Driving Essentials, which is a big driving supply store in New Holland, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. And he said this week on Monday was the first time in 15 years that he could not get to work. In 15 years. He determined that it was because none of the snow plows went out because it was the day after the Super Bowl and they were all hungover. So they didn't get to work.
Yeah, snow plow drivers. Gotta love them. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think Uta's getting a foot. Where she lives in Ohio, our listener Uta, where she lives in Ohio is getting a foot right now, and in Pennsylvania they had an ice storm, and it's just like, it's never ending.
When I lived in that part of Ohio, I lived in the snow belt in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, kind of in that area, and then I ended up moving a little further east, and it's crazy how much snow they get. And it got so bad, I actually moved my horses from one facility to another. Third day in, the barn roof collapsed. And fortunately, did not affect my horses, but it was one of those barns where the indoor arena is on the inside and then they're stalled around the outside, and the whole indoor arena collapsed, and fortunately over the horse's stalls it did not. But it was one of those, like, this is real, and this sucks, and I'm getting out of here. Like, I made it one winter, and I loved my job, and I loved the people, and I was like, bye, see you later. Y'all are crazy.
So well, Uta's listening this morning, and she said snow and ice this morning in Ohio. So there you go.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. That sounds fun. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? We've got an exciting one.
On today's Back on Track Products Wednesday edition, we're all over the place. And as we start out, the press pool arriving for the Olympics in Sochi finally embraces Twitter, providing seemingly endless entertainment for those of us who are not in Sochi. And then it's off to Ireland, and we'll have a chat with William Micklin about breeding event horses. And then bringing up the rear, Gina Mile joins us for the inaugural EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. My daily winnie. My daily Winnie goes out to Holy Camoli the Wonder Horse. Yep, that's his name, Holy Camoli the Wonder Horse. Just
okay.
gets it because of the name. I mean, the name alone, he gets my daily Winnie. But he's owned by Christy Schaefer. And this is a little pony that does parties and rodeos and fairs and stuff. But he's a trick pony. He does all kinds of tricks. And she submitted a video to America's Got Talent. And she and her pony have gotten selected for the first round of America's Got Talent. They came out and filmed. And films are doing her act. And if she gets through this first round, they will bring her out to L.A. to perform on stage. And she also has Dexter the Amazing Mini Steer, which apparently also does tricks. Now, we could never train our cows to do anything. So it's amazing that she would get a mini steer to do anything. I'm impressed by that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how anybody gets again, the cow thing. You know I want to break one to ride and invent it. I mean, that's a goal of mine. The mini one would be tough, though.
Yeah, it's tough. You're short, but not that short. All right, next.
Well, my daily Winnie goes out to Facebook, and I'll tell you why. Glenn, have you done your Facebook movie yet?
Yes, we had, and us and 5 million of our friends have as well.
I love it. I actually cried watching my Facebook movie. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I don't know how a computer program can be that smart. And I've actually read a lot of other people's. Like, it starts out with just some pictures, you know, when you first started. And it's a horse that I don't own anymore. And then there's a picture of a dog that I had that passed away, my Basset Hound. And then there's a picture of my engagement ring. And then there's a picture of my wedding. And then there's a picture of, like, the kiss at the end of our, you know, vows. And then there's a picture of the ultrasound, the first ultrasound of the baby. I mean, tug at the heartstrings much? Oh, my God. It was like, here's 10 years of your life. Boom, right there. And the music is so good. And anyway, the Facebook movies are so cool, and I'm so glad they did that. I know it had to be a lot of work, and I think it's so cool. I loved it. Was yours cool, or was yours what?
No, I liked Apparently, it. I thought it was really neat. And I agreed with you. They did a good job, and I went back and read about it a little bit, being the geek I am. And what they did is they just basically – they did an algorithm on your most popular posts, and it wasn't just for popularity. It was likes, it was shares, it was comments. You know, they took all of those things together and did an algorithm so that the pictures you saw were the ones that, you know, really, really resonated with your friends. So, and that's what they wanted to accomplish, and I think they did a really good job with it. They really did. It was fun watching other people's, too, because you know, we make friends along the way, and especially you and I that have a lot of listeners as friends. You know, I had several listeners this week that friended me, and, you know, I went back and watched theirs because I got to see the whole history of them that I didn't know anything about. So that was kind of
fun. Yeah, it was really, really neat, and I'm really glad they did that. And I'm sorry, I was a weepy mess yesterday because I was like, oh my God.
Poor Jamie. They hit your heartstrings, didn't they?
And the music is like, it's like totally designed to crush you. And I talked to a lot of other women that it was like that too. So, and you know what's funny is I did it early enough yesterday morning where there wasn't a share button, so you couldn't share it. And then people started posting it, and I went back and watched mine again, and all of a sudden there's a button. So they must have not had a share button, and then people were like, hello, I want it. And then finally you could see other people's, and you could share yours. It was really neat. It was really cool. That's my daily Winnie.
Very good. Well, before we get on to a story that you and I were just fascinated with this morning about the upcoming Olympics, I got to say, I was disappointed. I saw an article this morning that the ad that we all loved over the weekend, the whole Budweiser and Don Jeans and all that ad that we loved so much, that was not a Budweiser Clydesdale. It was a Clydesdale out of Elora, Ontario, Canada. His name is Alex, and he was spotted by a Budweiser talent scout 2 years ago. His owner's name is Susan James, And she said she got the call saying Alex would star in the Super Bowl ad a few months ago. She said, I was thrilled. I felt like Brad Pitt's mother. Budweiser needed a horse that could play off the puppy one moment and then chase the car down the road the next, and Alex's temperament fit the bill. He's always been playful, said James, and he loves people. He's not standoffish, and he was full of beans from the moment he was born. So that was not one of the Budweiser Clydesdales.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, I actually love the fact that somebody other than Budweiser made some money on this ad. You know, I think it's great, and he is very cute, and I love the fact that it's the same horse through the whole thing. You know, a lot of times they'll use different ones, so that's interesting, and I think it's cool. You know, great. You're not a Budweiser Clydesdale. Somebody else made some money.
Yeah, Susan James is very happy right now, and Alex is probably eating better at this point. Bale a hay a day for Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least.
So there you go. I was surprised. I was just surprised because, like, you wanted to believe Don Jeans was, you know, the guy in the commercial. I wanted to believe that the horse was one of their horses.
Oh, that's sad. Hey, just about that, you know, that commercial has gone around and, excuse me, has been so unbelievably popular. I was just looking on Eventing Nation, and you got to vote Mountain Dew or Budweiser, and Budweiser, of course, got 90% of the votes and, like, not even 10%. But I have actually, because I posted the fact to Glenn that we talked to Don on, I posted it on Facebook, I started getting calls from other radio stations, like other DJs that I've worked with that have,
really?
I worked with them in Atlanta. And then they went on to move on, you know, it's like the radio turnover is so high. So now they're in, you know, Chicago and Atlanta and West Coast. So the DJs that I worked with, every single one of them contacted me asking for his contact information. They're like, how'd you get that guy? I want to talk to him. So I just got sent the interview. My friend from Atlanta sent me the interview that she did. I haven't listened to it yet, but I said, you got to ask him if he's single, because I forgot to ask him that. And I'm getting a lot of angry listener emails saying, how could you not ask if he was single?
Yeah. How did you miss that one?
I don't know. I was, because he's obviously going to marry the girl that has the puppy farm and they're going to have a baby. It's just perfect.
That's it.
That's why I didn't ask. But I'm really sorry, all of you ladies that have emailed me or commented or Facebooked me, like, how dare you not ask if he was single? I can't believe it. And so she said she asked, but she wouldn't tell me. She said I had to listen to find out. So maybe I'll send you interview, Glenn, and we'll play it.
Oh, yeah,
here.
I'd like to listen. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure it was not half as good as ours. I'm sure.
Obviously not. But you know what's cool is on Don's Facebook page, he's getting interviewed all over the place, and he's posting about all of them. So pretty neat. And I've actually read some stuff about him. You know, he was one of those actors that was about to quit. He was about to give up acting and then finally got the call.
Huh. You know, there's so many of those.
I know.
So many of
them. It happens all the
Isn't
time.
Isn't that every
anyway,
actor?
So...
Yeah.
You're about to give
all
up.
The time.
Gosh.
Yeah.
You know, I just checked, Jamie, and that commercial has now gone over 43 million views on YouTube.
And that's only one person that posted it. If you look at it, 43 million is one, and then there's 6 million on another, and then there's 4 million on another, and then there's 3. You know, if you add all those up, it's got to be close to 70 million views.
Well, let's talk about the story that you and I going that we wasted so much time on this morning. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, the journalists, when they're getting to Sochi for the Olympics, sadly, and not shockingly, you guys picked Sochi, Russia. Like, this is a crazy place to have an Olympic Games. To me, when they announced it, I was like, what? Seriously? But, you know, it's all in, bringing the world together. Well, apparently, Sochi has not been prepared to host the 2014 Olympics at all. They start Thursday, and the journalists are arriving in Sochi, and apparently the conditions for the housing, the hotels, okay? Imagine if you went to a hotel and there was no front desk. Or you went to a hotel and there's no bed. Or you go to a hotel and you can't drink the water. I find this hilarious. A lot of the journalists, thank God for Twitter, they're tweeting about being in the hotel. There is no – these hotels aren't finished. Nothing is ready for journalists at all. And I just have laughed out loud. There's a Washington Post article that both Glenn and I found and talking about these conditions. And Glenn, what was your favorite?
There were some of these. My favorite one was the toilet. There's this guy, Greg, who posted, "People have asked me what surprised me the most here in Sochi. It's this. Without question, it's this." And he has a picture, and it's a picture of his bathroom, and there's the toilet, and there's a sign above the toilet that says, "Please do not flush toilet paper down the toilet. Put it in the garbage can." And this little garbage can sitting there.
So funny. There's a girl, Stacey St. Clair. I don't know who she writes for, but this is hilarious. The first tweet she tweets is, "My hotel has no water. If restored, the front desk says, do not use on your face because it contains something very dangerous." Like, what?
I don't really want to use it on my body either.
I don't want to touch it. And then the next picture is, she sent a picture, two glasses of the water. It looks like the consistency.
Oh, I didn't see that before. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
It's urine. I mean, it's yellow. It's like somebody who's dehydrated. And it says, her tweet is, "Water restored, sort of. On the bright side, I now know what very dangerous face water looks like." Then in the next tweet, she writes, "Also on the bright side, I just washed my face with Evian, like I'm a Kardashian or something."
Katie Bakes posted, "Made a new pal from La Presse as we struggled to find our hotel. When we got to our hotel, temporary rooms, his doorknob came off in his hand."
So funny. So funny. There's also, they're walking around on the streets, and apparently the streets don't even have manhole covers. So you have to watch out where you're walking. There's a picture, Joanne Barnes tweeted a picture of just an open manhole cover. There's just no manhole cover. It just goes down into the, I mean, that's crazy.
There's apparently, they were having a problem with stray dogs, and apparently there's still a problem because this one posted that they got the stray dogs were wandering into his room.
Oh, my God. Yeah, these are really funny. It says CNN booked hotel rooms, 11 hotel rooms 5 months ago. Only one room is available. There's one where the guy's standing in his hotel room and, like, the curtains are falling off. And you know, this is not a war room. This is not a wartime type situation. This is a freaking Olympics. Like, this is the world stage. And here you are, like, totally unprepared. Can I say like again? But it's just so funny. It's so funny.
Yeah, and you know, one of the particular group that you don't want to do this to when you're at an event like this is the media.
Yeah.
That's the group you don't want to do this to. And, you know, I read a lot of articles that a lot of the athletes were not looking forward to this trip. And, you know, some of them were like, I finally make it to the Olympics and we're going to Moscow. And you know, it just, you know, between the security concerns and some of the venues aren't ready yet. And do you ever watch the Winter Olympics? Do you watch any of it?
You know, I get Olympic fever big time. So I do. I got to say I do. But I think it's going to be interesting to watch this one, especially with the security concerns and everything going on. But I love the Olympics. I can't help it. I'll watch curling. I don't care.
I can watch curling for about 5 runs, and then I'm on to something else. You know, I find that way with the Winter Olympics. I do like the Summer Olympics better, but with the Winter Olympics, I can watch certain things, but I can't watch them for long. You know, I can watch a couple skaters. I can watch bobsledding all day. You know, I don't know if that's a guy thing or not. Did you hear about the Jamaican bobsledding team? They did a Kickstarter.
Oh, really?
No, didn't. That's cool. Hey, I got to go get the baby. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
Yeah, they did a Kickstarter to be able to go because they hadn't been able to go and because they didn't have enough money. So they did this Kickstarter campaign. They raised tens of thousands of dollars from all over the world to be able to go. And then their government pitched in and helped them get the rest of the way. So there will be a Jamaican bobsledding team this year. It wouldn't be the Olympics without the Jamaican bobsledding team.
Well, heck, they've had a movie made about them. They're famous.
Right. That's right. They're famous. They got to go. So apparently they will be there.
That's the best.
They will be
that,
there.
That movie was the best press the Jamaican Tourism Bureau Board ever got.
I know. And I'm just looking up, I'm just seeing if I can find their Kickstarter to see how much they ended up with.
Yeah, I was looking for it too. The, so is that what Olympic teams are going to start doing now? If you can't get to the Olympics, you need to have a Kickstarter?
They raised $25,000.
Wow.
That's funny. I guess the government then did pitch in for the rest of it. But, you know, all governments are, you know, having a tough time right now. Well, so we'll talk more about the Olympics, I'm sure, as it goes on and as we start following it and listening to it. But there was a post I did yesterday, Jennifer, on our Horses in the Morning page. By the way, congratulations goes out to Kayla Mueller, who we had on the show last week and talked about her trip to Europe to go horse hunting. She's an eventer. And she was telling us all about the horse she looked at and had vetted. Well, she said it's official. Rue is the horse's name, will arrive in America on the 18th and will be with me on the 20th. So congratulations to Kayla. She got her horse, and she posted a picture. Jennifer is going to repost it on our Facebook page, and you can check it out at Horses in the Morning on Facebook, and you can see a picture of Rue, or a video of Rue, actually. So congratulations to Kayla. That's been very exciting for her.
That's awesome. Congratulations to her. And just to have something pass the vet is exciting. And, you know, I was going to tell you,
which is more stressful, looking for the horse or waiting for the horse to pass the vet?
Both.
I don't know. If you're the seller, it's both. It's definitely. But you just, you know, I'm supposed to leave this weekend for a cross country clinic at Copper Meadows with James and Taryn Atkinson. I've been so excited. I'm taking Edward, and Edward went lame yesterday. So
no,
I'm coming out this morning. I'm so bummed. Hopefully she gets here and it's no big deal. We've got an abscess, but I don't know. So I'm giving you guys the heads up ahead of time that will be here at pretty much the end of this show. So I'm gonna have to cut off 5 minutes early. But that sucks. So hopefully everything's fine.
I feel so bad for you. Do you have a sound horse on the property?
You know, they don't belong to me. That's the problem.
So, no, you don't.
No, pretty much. No, you know, Jet's actually doing a little better. And, you know, I just can't seem to get both going at the same time, I guess.
You need to travel to Ireland to horse shop. Tell Chad it's time to take a trip.
You know, if we're going somewhere, we're going to Spain, and I'm going to get myself an Andalusian. Something sound and tough that I'll just ride dressage.
Our guest coming up here in a couple minutes, you want one of his horses. He makes the very successful event horses. You want one of his for sure. I posted this yesterday on our Facebook page. This farm that's for sale in Ohio, now I realize it's now covered in about 12 feet of snow, but I have never, ever seen a barn like this before. It is for sale. It's only $1.5 million. And the only reason it's only $1.5 million is because it's in Ohio. That's the only reason, I think. But when you take a look at the pictures of this farm that's for sale, it's in Hartford Township in Licking County, Ohio. And let me tell you some things about it. The barn is unfrickin' believable. I've never seen one quite like it before. It is huge. I mean, it's just huge. It's 43,000 square feet. It has 17,000 square foot arena with an overhead sprinkler watering system. It has stadium seating in the arena for 400 spectators. 400.
Holy cow.
It has
1.5 million.
It's in Ohio. That's how. 46 stalls with automated watering system, 46 saddle closets, 4 wash stalls, 2 heated wash stalls, a tack room, a breeding lab, 4 private bedrooms with each has a private bathroom, 6 public. Now, how many barns have you been to, Jamie, that had a bathroom in the barn when you were boarding and growing up?
You know, most of them would, but you wouldn't want to go in there. Just, it's just awful. You know,
yeah.
Terrible.
Or they didn't.
I'd rather pee in the stall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell you how many times we had to do that. 6 public restrooms in the barn, including 2 with shower and locker facilities.
Good God. Yeah, this is crazy. This is like the nicest barn I've ever seen. And is the 45 acres included?
Yes, and oh, that's not all. There's a second barn, which is 21,000 square feet with an 11,000 square foot arena with a sprinkler system and 24 stalls. So you have almost 70 stalls between everything here. And a single parcel, 44 acres. And, yeah, there you go. It doesn't say anything about a house. I'm not sure. Well, who needs a house? You live in a barn.
Anyway. Well, it just doesn't make sense that this is $1.5 million when clearly the barn itself cost more than that to build, not to mention the land. And they, of course, show pictures of it in the middle of the summer. Like, there's 4 cupolas on top. Like, it's spectacular.
It is. And they have balconies with you can sit out on the balconies. The lounge is nicer than our house and bigger, by the way, than our house. The lounge is
There's,
it is really cool.
It's insane. I mean, just the pictures of the inside are amazing. There's hot walkers, like it's round indoor round pins. It's crazy.
Yeah, this is a dream barn for anybody. I mean, just and you can eat off the floor. I mean, this one is really, really nice. They have fencing. It's all that plasticky poly fencing, so you never have to worry about painting. I mean, it's just nice.
I might just move here. I don't care if it's Ohio. It's nice enough where you could stay inside all the time.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to leave the barn.
It's probably heated.
So if you want to check that out, we'll post the link. There is a link posted on our Facebook page. Just go to Horses in the Morning on Facebook and check it out. I have one other quick thing here for you that's kind of fun. I want to welcome the following countries to our application, to our Horse Radio Network app. We have some new countries that have joined us over the last week. People have downloaded from Honduras, Costa Rica, Japan, Turkey, and Greece are the 5 new countries over the last week. So welcome to all of those people.
I would say hello in all those languages, but all I know is hola. For Costa Rica, they speak Spanish. Hola, amigos.
Hola. Well, that's it. That's all we know. So we hope you know English.
What else was there?
You had Japan. You know you're any Japanese?
I only know a little Korean, so that's not going to help. Okay, what else?
Okay, Turkey, which I assume they speak Turkish.
No, I don't know any Turkish.
Mm. How about Greek? You know any Greek?
I really like Greek food. Really a lot. They're my favorite.
And I would say for the new listeners in Greece that over here, the best diner restaurants are run by Greeks, hands down. The best diners, and Jennifer and I love diners, the best diners are run by Greeks with the best food.
I love Greek people. I just love them. I'm sorry, I'm still looking at inside of this barn, and did you see the indoor arena?
Yes.
Good God.
It's amazing. It's just amazing.
This is not $1.5 million. No way. No way.
I mean, this. I would take the second barn. The second barn's pretty nice, too. I thought they maybe had it wrong and it was $15 million. Did you see the lounge? The lounge is nicer than any house we have ever owned, ever.
It's $15 million. There's no way this $1.5 million. No chance.
You'll have to call. I'll get a hold of the realtor today, David Powers. Please. I'll contact the realtor today and we'll see if we can get the realtor on to find out the story of this barn.
Yes, I need to know. I need the story.
Very good. Well, let's take a break. We're going to head off right after we talk a little bit about Back on Track for our first interview of the day. We got the SIPO from Back on Track Products. over the weekend at Ada, and it was so nice to catch up with him. He was doing a brisk business there. You know, Back on Track products have come a long way and have become very, very popular all around the horse world, but not only the horse world, but the dog world and the people world. But sometimes we forget that Back on Track products have dog products and people products. They have products for everybody. If you're looking for a therapeutic horse blanket or a saddle pad or a leg wrap or bell boots or hawk boots, any kind of exercise boot or polo wrap, and you want it to go beyond just being the wrap, and you want it to actually do something for your horse, then you need to go to check out Back on Track products. These products really do work. They're used by all the top riders in many different disciplines, English and Western. And what I found interesting is a lot of these top riders use the people products as well. They use the ankle bracelets, and they use the elbow and the wrist braces. And you'll find them all. With the horse blankets on their horses after they compete. So if you haven't taken a look at Back on Track products yet, we highly encourage you to do so. There's a nice video right on the website of how they work and why they work and all of their products. It's a really nice website. Check it out at backontrackproducts.com. While we were over at Ada, we had the fortune of meeting somebody who's quite a legend in the eventing world. His name is William Micklem. He's Irish, and he's a breeder, and he's also written a couple of books, and we had him on the show here yesterday on our Tack Talk Day talking about his bridle that he has, the Micklem bridle, which is becoming very popular with the eventers as well. But today we want to talk to him. We got to catch up with him a little bit about breeding, Jennifer and I did, and I think you're going to find this conversation fascinating. And if you're an eventer, you'll know some of these horses that he has bred because they are world famous. So let's hear from William Micklem. Hi, Glenn here, and I am with Coach Jen, and we are at the American Equestrian Trade Association show.
In chilly Philadelphia.
In chilly
Woo-hoo!
Philadelphia, but we're enjoying our time here, as we always do, checking out all the new
all
products.
All kinds of cool stuff, cool people.
I haven't been able to keep Jennifer from spending money, and I think we're going to need another bag to go home on a plane. But we are here with William Micklem, and you flew over from where?
I came over from Ireland, Glenn.
From Ireland. Okay, great. And William has a book we're going to talk about here in just a minute, but I want to talk about your breeding program first because we haven't been able to talk about that yet today. So tell us about your breeding program and who are some of the horses you've bred.
Glenn, it's great to be here, first of all, I wanted to say.
Well, thank you.
And as somebody,
you've been a guest on some of our other shows,
yes,
too.
But you know,
this voice will be very familiar to listeners of the Eventing Radio.
I'm stealing you from Samantha now. So, Samantha, you can't have him back. We got him now. You can't have
great
him back.
Well, it's a pleasant steal, and I wanted to say how important the Horse Radio Network is to us in the horse world. It's opened up doors, and it's brought in a new audience, and it's a great communication tool.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
Well, thank you for that. So tell us about your breeding program.
Well, I have a very small breeding program. You know, I often...
In Ireland?
In Ireland.
Yep.
I often say to people, you know, my students, you know, if they haven't got a few spare bucks going, that it's cheaper to buy a mare. So I did exactly that.
It's the reason we've always owned mares, you know, until recently.
So I did exactly that for my wife who rode. And I was lucky enough to buy a couple of good mares. And when it came to retire those mares, and my wife retired from competition, I said we should breed from them. And I investigated.
What competition? Was she an eventer or a jumper?
She was an event rider. And I had one particularly very special mare, which went by the name of High Dolly. Very special in terms of her breeding. And I put her to a horse called Master Imp. And, in fact, I put her to a horse called Master Imp four times. And every single one of her foals were absolutely spectacular. So
that's pretty unusual. That really is unusual in the breeding industry, because you don't see going back to the same stallion, because everybody has this thing that, oh, you can't go back to the same stallion twice because you'll never have lightning strike twice. But obviously, it can happen.
Certainly, as we all know, within a family of children can be very different. But if you find breeding that is true and you find something that knits together, then go with it. And I was aware from the very earliest that High Dolly's first foal was Mandiba, that Mandiba was very special.
Now that's a name that the eventers are going to recognize.
So Mandiva was the great horse which Karen O'Connor rode for so many years and took to the Beijing Olympics and won the three-star World Cup competition at Rebecca Farm. In fact, he's an extraordinary horse, a prolific winner at one, two, and three-star level. But you know what? I will never forget the first day I saw him as a two-year-old gallop down our 25-acre hill, you know, on the side of a field. It's typically Irish with trees and shrubs, and it's not easy terrain, but the balance and the beauty of his step. And I knew I had a special one then, and I knew that I should send the mare back to the same stallion. And the fourth stallion we had, offspring we had was High Kingdom, who won a silver medal with Zara Phillips at the London Olympics, which is also very exciting. And all the horses have this characteristic of their mother, which is tremendous gentleness, but also great courage and a natural wish to jump and express themselves.
How were they as babies?
They were different mentally.
Yeah? I was wondering about that.
Mandiva was always sensitive. And when I sent him to her in America, I said, this is a horse that needs to be ridden by you, by someone with sensitivity. Probably he would suit a number of women, and I didn't think that he was the sort of horse to be bullied by some people who maybe be male and maybe ask slightly too much. But he was always sensitive, whereas High Kingdom was bomb-proof from the earliest stage. He always had great...
Curious into everything,
and you couldn't keep him in. He would jump out all the time. And I told Zara this when I sent him to Zara. Both horses were sold sight unseen, and I don't think she really believed me, but they have big high paddocks, high rails on the paddocks, and to this day High Kingdom jumps from paddock to paddock over the four rail post and rail.
We had one that was like that, and that's a nightmare, by the way.
It's a nightmare, but it's absolutely lovely.
Yeah, it's a nightmare when you're not riding them. It's terrific when you are riding them. That's right.
And I'm delighted. So I've bred a number of other horses, and we've done some embryo transplants. I did the embryo transplant on Harbour Pilot, who was part of your gold medal winning team in the Pan American Games. And I have a full brother who's a stallion of Mandiva and High Kingdom, who I call Jackaroo.
So I'm seeing a picture of him who's absolutely stunning.
He's a wonderful horse, exactly the same temperament. But
have any white? He's a bay.
He has a small bit of white on his face.
That's about it, yeah.
And we just brought in frozen semen into the United States of America. So for the first time, he's available for American breeders. And he's with Nadia Cook, who is at Shelburne Farms. And so that's exciting, because I'd like to think that, you know, special families are rare, and the progress that we've made with the breeding would suggest that it's very rare for any bad members of this family. They're all superstars. I have a family of three children, and my wife still rides, in fact. They all ride offspring of this family. Mm-hmm. We are just so lucky. I'm blessed with superstars.
Now, are you finding lineage here in the United States that you can look at those family lines and say, this is going to be a great match for Jackaroo, like you do in Ireland, or have those lines not been imported into America previously?
Well, some of the best, you know, people talk about French thoroughbreds and Irish thoroughbreds and English thoroughbreds and the differences, but if you go back a little way, you'll find that they all come from the same roots.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I've identified the lines that really make jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the horses, for instance, that Bruce Davison has had, or Mike Plum had in the old days, or Kathy Kusner had as jumpers, a lot of them came from the same families.
Mm-hmm.
I did a research for the last 30 years on all championship horses in all disciplines, dressage, horse trials, and show jumping, looking at the thoroughbred blood and see which are the families which are successful. And the extraordinary thing is there are about six what I would call golden families, and these horses come up time and time and time again. So, yes, I think you can look at the genes.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me, the experts say that mental abilities are more heritable than physical abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting one, because this family are so good mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you have a horse that's trainable and yet able to look after itself, you're in trouble.
Well, sure. What's the good of an athlete with a fried brain?
Especially an eventer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in fact, it applies to all disciplines. And,
yeah,
you know, as a trainer, And that's really why I'm here at this trade show. I'm here as a trainer and doing everything I can to encourage people to train horses better, look after horses better, make them more comfortable in their equipment. As a trainer, I know that if you make your horses comfortable and you train them well, they can look after you. And if you're going to jump off against the clock in Wellington and the Grand Prix on the weekend, you want a horse that you can leave out half a stride and keep going forwards, and the horse is still going to look after you and still be clean. The same obviously applies to the venting. But it also applies to the dressage and the type of performance we've been getting from, for instance, Charlotte Dujardin, mm-hmm. who won the gold medal at the London Olympics. They're training the horses in such a way as the horses are happy. The horses aren't so, if you like, strangulated. And this is so exciting because we have a whole new world opening up to people who may not be interested in riding the horses in a dominating way. Mm-hmm. And if you can get partnership as opposed to domination, if you can get acceptance as opposed to what is put on the bottom of the dressage test called submission, mm-hmm. a whole new world opens up for so many people. Great, very exciting.
It's interesting that you said that because we had this conversation earlier with Hunter Jumper rider, and we talked about the fact that in dressage, they're starting to trail ride their horses more. They're getting them out of the barn. They're not in the barn 25 hours a day anymore. They're really looking for what you just said, a happier horse, a mentally happier horse, and they're spending more time with their horses than they used to instead of getting on and getting off. I don't think we've seen that transition to the Hunter Jumper side yet, but it's starting. Starting a little bit at a time, so it's very interesting that you say that.
I mean, I love the idea that of one horse doing more than one discipline. I love the idea at all levels, and I love the idea of treating the horse in a more natural way. So none of my horses live in single stables, and as far as possible, they have ad lib feeding of whatever mm-hmm. type is suitable for the particular horses. I mean, I remember a headline in the Horse and Hound, the British major magazine, about 2 years ago, and the headline on the front was, "Are our horses too valuable to turn out?" Now, they were talking about elite horses, but I fully expected when I opened the pages and went to the inside story, they would say, well, of course our horses aren't too valuable
to turn
out.
They
must be turned out. But the article did the reverse. It said, yes, they're too valuable to turn out.
That's right.
And that's appalling.
Does that make you cringe?
Oh.
It made me cringe.
It's appalling. It's appalling. And there are all sorts of things which are appalling.
Horses weren't stalls in the wild. They didn't evolve that way at all.
So I'm interested in treating horses more naturally. I mean, Mandibo had never been in a single stable before he went to Karen O'Connor as a six-year-old. And unfortunately, he also had never had a rug on.
Oh, now, dear.
Oh, is that right?
And I didn't tell...
Did you warn her that?
No.
So
I gather that was an exciting day. Karen was on the phone to me. But gosh, how lucky I am with my horses that they've gone to the right... what I call the right hotels. And that's a key part of the whole thing. We need our horses ridden and treated by that caliber of person, because it makes such a difference. And that tradition of horsemanship and education that flows through, if you like, the bloodlines of those riders, that's so valuable, and I hope it's tapped for future generations.
What's changed in breeding over the last, since you were familiar with breeding, 30 years ago, what has changed?
Well, there are an enormous number of changes, and one of the big changes is the rise of the continental warm blood, which most people look upon as a separate breed,
right,
when in fact it's a type.
Right.
And many of the successful horses...
Made up of other breeds. It's a type made up of other breeds.
Correct.
Right.
So many of the most successful horses, which may have a Hanoverian or a Holstein stamp on or a Dutch stamp on them, can be as much as 97% pure thoroughbred and 3% other blood. So the German gold-winning team from Eventing, for instance, at the Olympic Games, none of their horses was less than 75% thoroughbred. And Ingrid Klimke's horse was 97%.
Yet they call them warm bloods.
And yet they're called warm bloods. So there's confusion out there, and most people they think they know what a warm blood is, but in fact it can be many different things, and that's a problem. And also people are buying horses and breeding horses that, in my opinion, are too big. When you look at the Hicksteads of the world, the famous show jumper with Eric Lemaz, and you look at the grey horse of Laura Krauts, Cedric. And Ito du Chateau, forgive my pronunciation, three of the leading show jumping horses in the world, they're all sort of either just 16 hands or down to 15-1. Mm-hmm. And so many of the top, even top show jumping horses, actually are smaller.
I was going to say, I think that's sort of coming back again. Isn't it starting to come back away from the 17.5 handers?
Well, I was in Wellington the last few days at the show, and I was saddened is the wrong word, but I was in the direction of being saddened because so many people I felt were riding horses.
The 17 handers?
Much too big for them. And those horses don't last as long. They eat much more.
They're harder to take care of.
We had draft horses, we know. they tend to have more physical problems.
Right.
I mean, the Irish pony, as an example, is wonderful. I mean, and their longevity is wonderful, and their athleticism is wonderful. But pound for pound, they probably are better performers than a horse. But if you can have what I would call a small horse, if you can have a horse around 16 hands, 15-3, 16 hands, you know, that is the perfect horse for so many people. It's for the smaller adults, for the children, everybody. And in the long term, you get more value for money for that type of horse.
And you're less likely to have the wear and tear because, I'm sorry, when you're a 17.5-hundred-pound horse, all that wear and tear is multiplied.
You're so right. And coming from Ireland as regards horse breeding, and I'm proud to say this, if you look at the all-time list of points winners in the United Kingdom, where there's more eventing than there is anywhere else in the world, the horses which won most points in the history of eventing, of the top 10, only one is not an Irish horse. Now, there's an indication of durability. There's an indication of longevity. And having found the right horse and having trained it, why not have one that's going to last a little longer?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sadness to me that we don't have so many horse heroes. You know, there are very few horses that the general public or even in the horse world that we begin to pick up on because they've been around for a few years.
Right.
You know, I remember
Karen
O'Connor's Biko, who I bought as a 3-year-old and again went to her as a 6-year-old. I remember the huge publicity and the huge fan club that he generated as a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to think that we would try and work harder to publicize more horse heroes because that's what the sport is all about. You can't do the sport without horses.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
These names pass so quickly because a number of the horses stay at the stop. At the top, such a short space of time.
A season or two. And
that's even true. I mean, that's especially true in the racing world where there'll be big names today and gone tomorrow because they go out for breeding and nobody ever hears them again in the general public. And so we see that a lot in the racing world, too. They're big names now and become very popular and have fan clubs, and then they're gone because they retire so soon.
Apart from the real superstars, the horse that was the superstar in the U.K., and Ireland last year was a horse called Frankel, and Frankel won a record.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Frankel.
A record number of Group One races. But what is news at the moment, if you like, is his first foal was
arrived
on the ground,
yeah.
And his first foal was on the national news.
Oh, really?
On the news
mm-hmm.
spot. Plus the fact that he had generated in his first season at stud $25 million in stallion fees, but. That's a different game, and I'm interested in the whole wide, if you like, view of horses, of riding at all levels, riding for all comers, and that's what makes riding so great.
Well, I would love to have you back again to talk about your book and the contents of the book. Tell us the name of the book here.
The book is called The Complete Horse Riding Manual.
And it's found on Amazon?
The Complete Horse Riding Manual. You'll find it on Amazon.
Okay.
And it's been in the top 50, I'm glad to say, since 2003, and it's published by Dorling Kindersley, who are a Penguin company, and it's a wonderful book because it's illustrated all throughout. The show jumping section would stand up as a show jumping book, the dressage section would stand up as a dressage section, etc., and we do young horse sections, we do fitting of the rider sections and things like that, so it's an unusual book, it's a big book, and I'm glad to say because it's been translated into 11 languages that it's the top selling manual in the world. But I'd have to say at the moment I'm more excited by my bridle, which is the Micklem bridle, which is here at the trade show, and the other reason why I'm here. I'm here with the skull of a horse, my friend Henry, I call him, and to show you that the bridle is designed from the inside out. So I worked from my knowledge of the anatomy of the skull to try and say, how could I come up with a more comfortable bridle?
We'll have you back again to talk about that.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Glenn,
Thanks
for your
for
time.
Thanks for stopping by. It was
Bye,
cool.
Gentlemen.
That guy is fascinating. I could listen to him talk for hours. And then he mentioned Biko, who sadly just passed away about a week ago at the age of 30. And talk about a big horse. That horse is like 17, too. That's right, Lucas. He was huge. So now it's time for the song. This is called Courage in the Saddle by Bren Hill.
Of a story, so you better listen well. In Southeast Oklahoma, when I was but a boy, I ran many a mattress and I never wanted more. Believed that I could ride anything with hair. Then one California morning, I found myself there at Los Alamitos Racecourse in 1962. Where the story starts and ends is where you find the dream comes true. Courage in a saddle, facing to the wind. You ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage. Richer when she crossed the finish line. Night of races at Bay Meadows, 68-73. There never was a jockey who had won as much as me. We were back at Alamitos in May of 84. With thick fog down the straightaway, mud on the racetrack floor. John Critter on face in the crowd, turn left in front of me. And the bottom side of running hooves was all that I could see. Courage in the saddle, facing to the wind. Ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage. My longing for the racetrack no surgery could replace. So as a 20-year outrider, I'll finally retire from the course at Alamitos, the place I first caught fire. The years have passed right through me, I'll never be the same. And the changing times in politics, Lord, we ought to be ashamed. But we're short of field and horses, Midwest jockeys, they're all through. Where the story starts and ends, where you find the dream comes true. Courage in the saddle, facing to the wind. You ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage.
Well, that's Courage in the Saddle by Bren Hill. You can find all of his music over at BrenHill.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I have Jamie Jennings here as well as Coach Jen, and we are brought to you today by Back on Track Products. We appreciate Woo-hoo! You being here and taking a listen, and coming up very, very shortly is our first edition of EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. We're very excited for the new game that's going to start this morning. Thank you for everybody who signed up. If you haven't signed up to play the game on Wednesday mornings with us, we pick one person at random every Wednesday morning to play with us, to play the celebrity. If you haven't signed up, go to horsesinthemorning.com. Click on the big banner right in the middle of the page. You can't miss it. Click on that. It's very simple, very easy. Take you about 5 seconds to sign up. Your name will be in the pot from now on, so you don't have to sign up every week. We'll keep your name in there. We'll pick at random. We'll email you, find out if you're available. And we did that. We're going to find out who the player is here very shortly. But we got to talk about equity. You know, it's that time of year for most of the people in this country when you are breaking tines off your manure forks like crazy. You're trying to clean up frozen poop. You've got ice everywhere. You're trying to basically chip at things with your – we all do it – with our manure forks. You're trying to break ice with it. And what you find out is the cheap manure forks you buy at the feed store just break. The tines break, and you don't have them for very long. You don't have to worry about that anymore with Equity. If you're cleaning outside this time of year, you should have a flexin' fork. And if you're cleaning the barn this morning before the show even started, I went out. We've been bringing the horses in more than usual. And I took the shaken fork, and I cleaned those two stalls in about 4 minutes. It's just so simple, so easy, and so fast, and I save a lot of bedding with it, with the shake and fork for cleaning your stalls. And if you're cleaning outside, you want to take a look at the flex and fork. You should not be without one this winter season, because I guarantee you that it's going to last you, and you're going to have it for a long time to come. Find it all at EquityMFG.com. All the hosts on the Horse Radio Network use the flex and forks, either the flex and fork or the shaken fork. Or in Jamie and I's case, we use both. Well, we are – Jennifer is getting our guests lined up, and we are getting ready to start this inaugural edition of this.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
Well, we have us to start.
I need a dictionary to try to get through what she just said.
This is an intelligent game, Jamie. Keep up. It's an intelligent game. And we have one of the most intelligent riders on the air with us this morning. She's an Olympian. She's an eventer. Everybody knows her. She's been a guest on almost every show on the Horse Radio Network from day one. She was our first guest. Gina Miles is with us. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning. How are you? I don't know. I'm getting kind of nervous about this, you know, a little bit of performance pressure here.
You have to be smart.
I got to deliver.
When I talked to Gina last week, I never said anything about her having to be smart. See, that's how I got her on.
Exactly.
At 7 in the morning. Well,
it's
Gina, thank you.
Morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You're such a good sport. You've been so good to us over the years, and I just want to thank you for that. You really have been a good sport.
Oh, thank you. It's been tons of fun. We always like to have a good time.
Well, Gina, you are donating the prize today out of your different collections of things that you have now. Tell us about, we have a bit, and we also have a saddle pad. Tell us about your products.
Yeah, so I have been working with Professionals Choice to expand into the English market and expand their English brand. And as part of that, I have a Gina Miles collection. I've been able to do a line of bits. that I'm really excited about. And the bit that I'm doing is my signature bit that, that's been really popular for horses that sort of lock and lean and get really stiff in the jaw, but it's not a super strong bit. So I'm doing one of those. I'm really excited about that. And then also a monosquat jumping pad that we've created to suit the longer billet straps that are usually on those monoflap saddles.
Ooh, I need one.
Yeah, and you're going to sign it, aren't you? Didn't I hear that rumor?
Well, absolutely.
Okay, good. Because that's what makes it extra, extra special.
It's hard to sign the bit, though. I'm not sure I can manage to sign the bit. That one might be a little bit tricky. But.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. Now, are the pads available now? I noticed you just came out with them, but are they available?
They are brand new, and they're going to be ready to ship here real soon. I was actually just in the warehouse yesterday, and the fabric has just came in. So they are really, really close to shipping.
And I noticed they're already on the Professional's Choice website. You can go to profchoice.com to find both the bits and the pads. I also posted links to them on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning this morning, so you can find them there as well. Where are you? And oh, we need to mention one other thing. If the celebrity wins the challenge today, the celebrity will donate the prizes to the charity of choice. And who's your charity of choice?
Riders for Helmets.
Yay! Lindsay is a good friend. She actually hosts this show one day a month. So,
Perfect. Well, you know, I met Lindsay several years back, and, you know, she's done just such a great work with that charity, you know, good friends with Courtney King Dye, and I've been, you know, following Lindsay and the work that she's done, and I think it's very powerful and very important.
And that's the riders, the4helmets.com. And right now, Jamie's going to introduce your competitor.
Oh, boy.
Your competitor today, the challenger for Gina Miles Olympian, no pressure, is Celeste Coulter, also an eventer. We'll say good morning to Celeste. Good morning, girl.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so nervous.
I am, too.
Well, there's
but
one
you
of
don't
us
need
who's not
me.
Nervous. Yeah, yeah, I'm not nervous at all, so this is fantastic. So, Celeste, tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself to Gina Miles, please.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just say first, Gina, I am such a huge fan because for all of us vertically challenged women who ride big horses, to watch you ride McKinley around cross country was just mind-blowing. I love it. You're so amazing.
Thank you.
But I'm an amateur. I have a couple of off-track thoroughbreds. I actually heard Gina talk about her signature bits on the Stable Scoop show. And actually, I bought my 5-year-old the double ring Waterford bit, and he loves it. He goes so much better in it because he's young and green and likes to decide to go advanced level eventing on a novice course. So he loves to just take it and run. He came in so far under optimum time one time that I had made him walk for 30 seconds on the course, and he still came in under optimum because he likes to go that fast. So I'm really excited, and I cannot wait to play, even if I embarrass myself. I love Riders for Helmets, so I hope that they have something to do.
Well, this is just a match made in heaven, if you ask me. And again, Gina and Celeste, both thank you guys for joining us on this inaugural event. So here's how it's going to work. Gina, I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to ask Celeste a question. We have three questions, and we have a tiebreaker, and I'll explain that if we get to it. These questions, don't be scared. Don't be
too late.
You don't have to get too spent.
Too late.
So I'm staring at my coffee mug that we got from the Kennedy Space Center that's got these you know, quantum physics equations on it. So I'm hoping it'll really inspire me.
Oh, there you go.
Well, the good news is there are no quantum physics questions on here, Gina. So don't worry about
okay.
it.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Gina the question first. And the question is, again, you guys, no Googling. I'm not going to impose the 5-second rule.
I didn't even think about that. That would have been a great idea.
You only have 5 seconds.
Five seconds.
And I will ring the bell if you get it. first ring the high school basketball, you'll recognize this, Gina, the high school basketball buzzer. Is gonna go.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. So, again, no Googling. Again, we'll be pretty lenient on the 5 seconds, but you got to be honest. All right.
Okay.
Gina, the first question is, has vaulting ever been an official Olympic sport?
No.
Well, my friend... The Olympian, yes, it was. In the 1920 Antwerp Games, vaulting was one and only. I can't believe you don't know your Olympic history from the 1920s, Gina. Jeez.
I'm ashamed.
I would have said no as well. and I have the answer in front of me. Let's see. We're going to move to Celeste now. Celeste, I hope you did your homework, because your first question is, what year did our celebrity Gina Miles win the Olympic individual silver medal aboard McKinley?
Hold on. 2004? 2008, yeah.
I'm
trying to remember how far back it was. Hey, I didn't hear that. How come you guys didn't give me that question?
What was your guess, Gina?
My guess would have been 2008. Oh my gosh, I almost went to 2004, so I think that's pretty close. We were really close in 2004.
Well, so far you both are 0 for 0. You're goose eggs. We're going to move on to Gina now.
Okay.
Gina, you should know this. I'll say that, but I would know it. Name the eventer whose horse, Grey Goose, was just inducted into the Eventing Hall of Fame. She also played Melissa Gilbert's stunt double in the 1985 movie Sylvester, filmed in part at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Yay, Kim Wallace.
Yay.
I love that movie.
Who doesn't love that movie? Oh, my gosh. All of a sudden, this girl down on her luck is competing at Rolex. Woo! It's so awesome.
Love it.
Qualifying. There's just enter Rolex and win it, you know? I mean, that's how we do it, right?
Hey, Gina. Kim Wallace, it was Jennifer's coach when she was a
really?
Veteran. So.
Oh, my God, that's so awesome.
What a neat lady. She's a neat lady, and Grey Goose is an amazing horse.
Yeah, totally.
All right, well, we're going to move on now to Celeste.
Oh, God.
Got to get this right to keep tied with Gina. Who played Tonto in the 2013 movie The Lone Ranger that nobody saw?
Johnny Depp.
Yay!
Correct. Johnny Depp, which my father is the hugest Lone Ranger fan. He's, you know, like close to 70. He remembers, like, he used to watch on Saturday mornings the real one. And so he's like, I ain't been to a movie in 20 years. And he's like, then I went to see The Lone Ranger. I ain't going to another movie for 20 years. He's like, that was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Say, was he disappointed?
Oh, he was devastated. But that's okay. You know, nobody's going to beat the classics, you know. I mean, really.
No.
I
miss seeing it. Maybe I should keep it that way.
Yeah, you're okay.
No, see it, Gina. See it. It was great. It was a fantastic movie, Gina.
Jennifer loved it.
Again, you heard Jennifer, so you need to get the dictionary out if you're going to go and watch that movie.
Okay.
All right. Moving back to Gina. Your third and final question.
All tied.
It's all tied. It's tied 1-1. In 2003, the oldest... That this is multiple choice, by the way, so I'm going to help you out. The oldest skeleton of a modern horse was found in what country? In 2003, the oldest skeleton of a modern horse was found in either A, Mongolia, was it B, Australia, or was it C, Canada?
Whew, that you guys are a tough man this morning, but I'm going to guess A, Mongolia. Oh, ouch.
That is the logical guess. However, it was actually Canada in North America. So Canada was where the oldest skeleton in 2003 horse was found. So, Celeste.
Fascinating. I have learned so much this morning.
You can brag to all your friends that you know vaulting was an Olympic sport in Antwerp.
In 1920.
I'm
going to tell them. I know.
Dropping some knowledge. All right. This is another multiple choice, Celeste. We're going to be equally as kind to you. If you get this right, you are the winner of the first celebrity challenge. If you do not get it right, we will move on to a tiebreaker. Okay? Multiple choice question, Celeste. Are you ready?
Okay. Oh, no pressure.
You may beat your hero, Gina Miles. Stand by. All right. Which is most closely related to the domestic horse? Is it A, hippopotamus, B, rhinoceros, or C, giraffe?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. I'm glad that's not my question. Say hippopotamus.
We're going to the tiebreaker. Sudden death tiebreaker. The actual answer was rhinoceros. Again, I'm learning a lot too. I didn't know it.
Rhinoceros.
I have unicorns now. Then
that must be my horse's skin is so hard to give a shot to.
Exactly.
Play it to a rhinoceros.
That's funny.
I love it. Okay, so they're tiebreakers. Okay, my baby wants to play. Come here.
He wants to play, too.
He wants to play, too. All right, so the tiebreaker question, the first one of you to answer wins, okay?
Oh, boy.
You can just yell out the answer. The first one to answer wins. Are you ready?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
I'm nervous for you guys. This is awesome. After saluting at X and tracking left at C, what is the next letter you come to in a dressage arena?
M.
Ah.
Incorrect.
Anybody else?
H. Tracking left? Oh, H.
Yes, who said that? Who was that?
Gina.
Gina, you are
good
the
job.
Winner.
Yeah.
It is H.
H. Yay!
Who said M?
Gina? I said M.
What? Oh, my God.
I'm
not sure that counts because I said M first and then I said H.
Yeah. Yeah, you actually did get it wrong first.
I think we might have to do another one.
Well, I don't have any. So here's what we're going to do. Let me go ahead and throw this, propose this, if you will. So everybody's a winner. Gina, you were going to donate a bit and a saddle pad. Why don't you send Celeste one and Riders for Helmets the other?
Great. Now, and Celeste, you said you already had the bit?
Yeah, I have the double ring Waterford.
Perfect. Let's send Celeste a saddle pad, and we'll send the bit to Riders for Helmets, and they can do what they want with it.
Yay,
aww.
I like that.
Yay!
Just
I
like
love
in the
it.
Rolex
well,
Stadium.
Exactly. It sounds just like that, except for the fact that when people go, your dog is in the car, your license plate is, and then everybody boos. I love that. All right, well, Gina and Celeste, you guys, thank you so much. I'm so glad everybody's walking away a winner. And, Gina, again, thank you so much for being here. I know it's so early in California. You probably just got done with Galway. Was that last weekend?
We actually went to the jumper show out at Thermal. We 13 horses out to the Hits jumper show. So that was super fun. But we are home from that and gearing up for our first horse trial at Fresno. So.
Oh, nice. Well, good luck to you guys, and good luck to everything. And then, Celeste, when are you going to be out competing?
Hopefully here in a couple of weeks, there's some little schooling shows, and hopefully get him out and do some stuff with him.
Well, I wish you guys the best of luck, and hopefully I'll be at Copper Meadows this weekend for their clinic, and so we'll all be out playing with our horses, and I'm really excited that, Celeste, you were able to join us, and Gina, thank you very much, and we will talk to you both again soon. Can you hold on, Celeste, so we can get your information?
Of course.
And all Gina, right. We'll forward all the information over to you as well, and to Professionals Choice. I got one quick question for Gina. Are you going to be showing up at Rolex this year? Are you going to be there?
I will be there this year. However, not riding yet. I've got 2 new advanced horses that will hopefully be qualified to go next year. So I'll be there,
all right,
watching, spectating, and then hopefully have 2 horses there next year.
All right. Well, we'll
awesome.
See you there.
Great.
That's good,
thanks.
Gina. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hold
that
on,
went
Celeste.
Really well. Good job.
That was fun.
Good job, bud. Good idea.
That was fun. I thought it would be a fun game, and you know, it all depends, I guess, on the celebrity. And we can't announce it yet, but keep your ears open for the next couple of weeks, because I think we are going to have one that nobody else has. So just keep your ears open for who's going to be coming up. And if you want to sign up to play, just go to our website at horsesinthemorning.com, big banner in the middle of the page. Just go in and sign up, and I hope that you do, because look how much fun Celeste had. She got to talk. Now, that couldn't have worked out any better. We picked her name at random, and she just happened to be an eventer whose hero was Gina. So that was really cool.
So cute. That was really cute. She was so nervous. They were both there. It was really adorable, and I think that went really well. Good job, Glenn. Well, again, thank you everybody for being a part of that, and Equity MFG for being the sponsor of the Celebrity Trivia Challenge. And sorry, I'm holding on to a baby at the same time.
Okay.
Stuffing food in
head over
mouth.
To EquityMFG.com for all of your manure cleaning needs. Right over at EquityMFG.com. Flex and Fork and the Shake and Fork. You can't live without them. Trust us. We don't live without them. We have officially now broken every fork that we had before we got these. So we have nothing in the barn but Equity manure forks now. It's official.
Yeah. It's
we have gone that
have,
route.
So.
Yep.
Well, hey.
Go ahead.
I've got the vet coming in just a minute, but I wanted to let you know of a news story real quick. Do you remember that horse named Groupie Doll who was sold for an ungodly amount of money, $3.1 million at last year's Keeneland November breeding stock sale, and she was still racing at the time she was sold for $3.1 million, and the owner, the buyer, was a woman named Mandy Pope, who is involved basically in just breeding. She just has a breeding operation. Well, they decided to put her back in training. And they're like, you know, first of all, let's just race. Let's race her, which is not something that Mandy Pope does. So, awesomely enough, they're running her in one last race, and it's going to be on the 9th, the Hurricane Birdie Stakes, the Grade 3 Stakes race at Gulfstream Park. The purse, well, if Groupie Doll runs in it, the purse is going to be $200,000. So her final race will be this weekend. So just so you guys know, Sunday, be thinking about Groupie Doll. I just think it's such a great story that they decided to run her one more time.
There you go. Terrific. Hey, any of those horses you put your name in on, those race horses, contact you about adopting them out after they retire?
No. Still working on that. Still, Zenyatta still has not come to my barn.
No.
That's, of course, the only mare that I would have in my barn. I mean, it's going to be like a problem anyway. but I would make some special arrangements for Zenyatta. But, no, and, of course, you're talking about, what is it? What's the website that you do that at? I forget.
Oh, yeah, what is that website? It's an adoption site. Isn't it Jockey Club that has it?
Well, it is the Jockey Club, but you click through to another part of it.
I know
and,
you did
it,
like, though, for one or two.
Yeah. And you can do the bloodline brag and everything. So it's a neat website. But no, nobody's contacted me. Nobody. Dang
it.
Well,
wait a minute. We have breaking news just in. Breaking news just in. Jennifer, what is the breaking news?
We have breaking news. Next week's EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge will feature celebrity Dean Reeves, co-owner of Mucho Macho Man, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, as our celebrity. Woohoo! And the prize will be a signed poster of Triple M himself from the Vox Populi Award that he won this year.
Oh, wow. Whoa, I want it. Can I play?
You can't play.
I'll play you, Jamie. Jamie, I'll play you.
Wow. Yeah, we'll play each other. You know what? You play Dean because I'm not playing him. He's way too smart for me.
That is terrific, Jennifer. I guarantee you nobody else has Dean on playing games.
I don't know if Patty told Dean he's doing this or not yet. But so, Dean, if you're listening, surprise.
Surprise. You're going to be on next week. Well, that's
and
terrific.
Surprise.
What a great get that is. And who doesn't want a signed poster of the most famous horse last year? Mucho
I know. Hey, speaking of, have you guys seen that new television show called Horse Players?
No.
No.
Oh, my gosh. It is addicting. They've only had two episodes out so far. And the first one, it's a reality show, but it's sort of. It's more of like a docu-reality drama thing. And it's about a bunch of guys that are handicappers. And it follows them along their bets. And it followed some people along, like, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and then the Belmont, and who they bet on, and some other big stakes races, and who they bet and why they pick them and how much money they put on them. And it goes through, like, all the guys are kind of competing against each other for this year-end prize. And in the second episode, there's, like, this kind of weird guy who's holistic-y, and he has to go look at the horses, and he feels and talks to him, and that's how he picks them. And for the Breeders' Cup, it was the final race of the entire, I guess, year challenge of handicapping. So he went down, and he decided that Fort Larned was going to be his pick. Of course, Fort Larned was, you know, in the Breeders' Cup Classic with Mucho Macho Man. And I'm watching it, and if Fort Larned wins the Breeders' Cup, he is in the running to win this whole big, giant prize at the end. So they're watching the Breeders' Cup. I mean, they're watching the Derby, Preakness, Belmont, all the horses we talked about all year long. It's really, really cool. And they get to the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he's betting Fort Larned, and I'm just the whole time I'm like, he's going to lose. He keeps picking Fort Larned because we know the outcome of the race. Well, they go on, and they're watching, and they're like, Mucho Macho Man, Fort Larned, Mucho Macho Man, Fort Larned, and the winner is Fort Larned.
What?
I was like, what? That's what I said. They, in this reality show, altered the ending of the Breeders' Cup Classic to fit this competition this guy was in to win the money. And he ended up not even winning the money because, of course, Fort Larned didn't win. But I was shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
Well, that credibility of that show just went out the window, huh?
I know. I loved it. I was so excited. I've DVR'd them, and of course, no, there's only two episodes, and I have the two episodes like 40 times because it's on the like Encore Network or something. So they changed the outcome of the Breeders' Cup Classic to make it fit their show. I'm so pissed. I'm going to talk to Dean about that.
You can't do that.
I know.
Are you sure? Did the show just end, and the next episode is where they're going to be that at Mucho Macho Man one?
I kid you not. I rewound it like four times because I'm like, wait, what did they say? What did they say? They even, after the whole thing is over, they're like, Fort Larned wins the Breeders' Cup. Oh, well, we're going to do I'm like, what? They
did
even
he win
have
one
a
of the other
announcer.
Races? No, he was in
they
that
have,
race.
In every race, Larry Kalmus is calling. Hey, little man, let me give you another piece of food here. Larry Kalmus calling the races, and all of a sudden they had a different guy calling the races. And he's like, Fort Larned! And they took that sound from another race, I'm sure. It's crazy. I was so excited. And again, it's called Horse Players. Look it up.
Oh, God. That is something. That is something.
You
makes
can't
me
do
not
that.
Want to watch it. Hey,
that's all I can say.
Hey,
you just can't do that.
Were they a horse? were they a whole bunch of, that shows you reality TV is not really reality. Were they a whole bunch of guys that looked like they needed showers with cigars in their mouths?
You know, actually, I really felt like I really liked it because they weren't annoying. There's only one annoying guy, and I kind of found that a bunch of guys sitting around talking about horses was really interesting, and I thought it was interesting trying to figure out, because I don't know what the superfect is and pick six is and how to do all that and how to bet it, and they were kind of explaining it a little bit.
Apparently he wants to go bet.
Yeah, he wants to go bet. So if you go to, it's on the Esquire Network, we're going to find out more. I can't, we got to get
right
somebody from there on.
What the hell are you doing? Changing the results of the race to
I know.
The TV
show. I know. Crazy.
All right. That's it. You got to get out of here. You got a vet coming and a child to deal with, and we have other things we have to get to today. So have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're one of the new countries that has joined us, welcome to the show. We hope you enjoy it, and we certainly hope that you speak English because it's going to be kind of boring otherwise.
Spay, neuter, and geld. That's international. Everybody knows that.
some guy in Turkey is now looking up geld. What's geld?
Geld. What is geld?
He's going to get all the pictures.
Oh, God. Oh. Don't Google it. Don't Google image it.